Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Portal to Ascension Radio. Are you ready to expand your consciousness? Your hosts are Neil and Sol Gore. This is a revolutionary, cutting-edge, and deeply esoteric program. Join us as we explore the nature of our reality.
Welcome, everyone, to Portal to Ascension Radio. This is your host, Neil Gore. Thank you all so much for being with us today. And today we have a really special guest who's going to be joining us, Tricia McCannon. And if you guys have not been following us, we've done four interviews now on Blog Talk Radio over the last week. We have another 20 interviews scheduled over the next month. And what we're doing is we're showcasing and bringing forward every single presenter that's going to be at the Portal to Ascension Conference in October 5th, 6th, and 7th, 2018 in Irvine, California. So we're bringing them all on the radio shows to really discuss and go into detail about the wisdom that they're sharing, why is it so important, and what impact it's going to have on the future of our planet. So if you guys are not aware, we are Portal to Ascension, and we have an online conscious university where we literally have events from every single conscious topic you can think of, from conscious nutrition to sacred sexuality, from the lost years of Jesus to forbidden archaeology, true world history, extraterrestrials, UFO disclosure. It's a one-stop shop for conscious awareness. And right now on the planet, as the vibration increases and we're shifting into this higher octave of existence, it's really a time where information is needed. It's the age of information, this information of our true ancient past, so that we can remember who we are and make a change for our future to live in harmony with the planet. So Portal to Ascension is this one-stop shop. And we've been doing online events for the last 3 years. We've had events before that, live events. And now we're getting back into doing live events again. So the main part for this radio show is really to showcase the fact that we're going to be going all over the world starting this year, putting on events in local communities, bringing this awareness to, and also live streaming these events so that we can get it out to a wider range of audience all over the world. So Tricia McCannon, who's going to be coming on today, she's done a lot of events with us. We've had her on many times. Probably one of the most events on our work on our platform is actually with Tricia, and she covers a range of topics. And the reason why we keep bringing her on is not only does she share amazing awareness, but she has so many different aspects that she can bring to the table about what's going on. So we've actually joined forces for this year. We're going to be not only doing live events with each other, we're going to be doing retreats. She's going to be at our conference, and we're going to have our ongoing events that we're doing on our webinar platform. We just did an event with her a few weeks ago on Mayan prophecies, and we have one coming up with her in a couple of weeks, I think on March 24th, on Nostradamus and the Hopi. So if you guys do not know about Tricia, Tricia is an American mystic. She's the author of the beloved best-selling books, Dialogues with the Angels, Jesus, the Explosive Story of the 30 Lost Years and the Ancient Mystery Religions, and Return of the Divine Sophia, Healing the Earth Through Wisdom Teachings of Jesus, Isis, and Mary Magdalene. She's the author of over 35 DVDs and CDs and 13 online classes, all focusing on the great spiritual mysteries, awakening Christ consciousness, and global healing. She has appeared on over 175 radio shows, television shows, and been on Dreamland and a number of international documentaries. As a keynote speaker, she speaks on a variety of subjects from the Awakening Divine Feminine to the Lost Years and Secret Teachings of Jesus and Mary Magdalene. She also speaks of angels, extraterrestrials, UFOs, global awakening, paradigm shift, prophecies. She's a great researcher and a good friend, and I'm going to go ahead and bring her on right now. Tricia, are you there with us? See that she's on here. Give us a second. Let me just unmute her. So Tricia is going to be at the Ascension Conference as we're waiting for my studio is going a little slow here and it's taking a while to unmute her. But she's going to be joining us at the Ascension Conference as a component of the True World History segment of what we're going to be bringing. So we have three components of the Ascension Conference. We have the extraterrestrial awareness, the UFO disclosure, and then we have the evolution of consciousness, And then we have the True World History, Ancient Origins. So we're going to be bringing forward speakers that are going to be discussing our true ancient origins and strange archaeology, and basically start the process of rewriting the history books so that we can bring this forward and change our understanding of our ancient past so that we can make better decisions for our future. So, Trisha, are you there with us?
I am indeed. Are you guys there? Can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you perfectly. How are you?
I am fine. It's a pleasure to be with you. And is Sol there with you today?
Sol's here, but she's about to head out to go see her kids.
Hey, Sol. How are you?
She's good, just walking around.
It's a pleasure to be with you guys. And I think it's so exciting what you've been doing, what we've been doing together. And I'm thrilled about this conference that's coming up in October. But I know we've got a bunch of events before we get to the conference.
Yep, exactly. And we've been doing a lot together, and it's just been building momentum. And honestly, the more we go into the future, the more we're able to realize and how we can actually create bigger impact with the events we're creating. So this year we have a slew of events from now until October, and it's going to be starting off with the Lost Civilizations Tour, as you know, in Atlanta. And for everybody who doesn't know, the Lost Civilizations Tour is the tour that we're going to be embarking on this year in order to bring forward awareness of our ancient origins to local communities all over the world and live stream it with speakers like Trisha, like Graham Hancock, Brian Forrester, and Michael Pellinger. So, Trisha, why don't we start there? Why don't you tell us a little bit about what your take is on Lost Civilizations, ancient origins, and the importance of this information right now?
Well, as you know, I'm a clairvoyant. I have had that gift since I was a young girl, and I wound up training for many, many years with a group of masters called the Viragi Masters to really gain control of my gift. And so I've consequently read for over 6,000 people all around the world going back in history. And, you know, 30 years ago when I first started reading for people, I was going back 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 years into what we think of as known history. But then I made a leap to where I was going back, you know, 30,000 years, 20,000 years, 50,000 years, and I found myself actually, to my utter surprise, in completely different civilizations, civilizations like Atlantis and Lemuria. And they went through many, many phases of civilization, just like we have. If we took a look at the last 5,000 years, depends on when you would drop into the time track, to whether we were looking at, you know, ancient Greece or ancient Egypt or modern times or the 17th century. So, you know, Atlantis also went through many, many stages of evolution where it had sort of the classic Greek architecture and so forth. But then eventually it did evolve to a place where there was more technology, what we think was airplanes or aerial vehicles and submarines and, you know, definitely very complex aqueducts and water systems and plumbing systems and educational temples and institutions and things we would think of as universities today or temples. So, you know, all that I loved being able to tap into and see humanity at an earlier era of its evolution. And one of the things that I discovered is that in certain time periods, centuries in Atlantis, there were actually spaceships coming in. We, Earth, was actually like a galactic capital where there were human-looking beings, totally human like us, coming to visit from the Pleiades or from Arcturus or from the Sirius system or the Andromeda system and so forth. And, of course, there were some variances. Some people were taller. Some people were longer lived. But basically, you know, humans. And this was not anything like the history we had been taught. And sometimes the client that I would actually be doing soul reading for would actually have come to visit the planet several times before they finally chose to begin to incarnate here on Earth. And, of course, I began to wonder what happened. And, of course, we all know about the Great Flood. You know, there are legends of the Great Flood in every culture around the world. And so, of course, you know, that's part of what happened that took Atlantis down. But as you know, I have come to believe, because of my access to these records, looking at Atlantis and then even Lemuria, which was ages of mankind. And this has become one of my great passions, studying the cycles of time, human evolution, how these cycles repeat, but kind of more like a spiral. It's not going around in a circle.
Right.
Every time we have an opportunity to move to a higher level, and as we face some of the same energies. So, you know, as you know, I've done a really wonderful presentation on Atlantis, and I'm going to be doing one about Atlantis and these cycles of time at this Lost Civilizations workshop in Atlanta the first weekend of April. I think that's April 5th and 6th, or is it 6th and 7th? Do you have a calendar there?
Yeah, we got May. It's May. Well, in Atlanta, actually, yeah. May we're doing Denver and Boulder, but Atlanta we're doing on April 7th, 6th and 7th. There we go.
Right, 6th and 7th in Atlanta, and the Inner Space, actually, which is one of the big metaphysical centers or bookstores here in Atlanta in the Sandy Springs area. And then we're going to be taking it to Denver and to Boulder the very first weekend of May, right?
Right, yeah. And I'm super excited about the one in Atlanta because it's a never-before-done kind of event for us, and I'm sure maybe for you as well, where there's two speakers, basically William Henry and Tristram Cannon, in 2 days, two presentations each day, around 3 hours each presentation, so like 12 hours of presentation for the whole weekend, and it's going to be really groundbreaking information where you guys are going to showcase a lot of information from ancient origins and also the ancient mystery schools. It'll be everything from Egypt to Atlantis to uncovering a great pyramid culture over the whole entire world. And then what else? What was the other presentation that you were going to do, Tricia?
I'm going to really talk about the bigger perspective with the cycles of time and not only the past and how the cycles work, but the present and the future. And as you know, I did this whole presentation for you recently that was just fabulous on Mayan cosmogenesis and how relevant to what is actually going on in the center of our galaxy and other galaxies, and how there's almost like a super wave, a second Big Bang is what scientists are calling it, that becomes a super wave that literally comes out and changes consciousness. It's like energy from, let us call it the great central sun, for lack of a better word, or the galaxy, comes out and activates our sun, and our sun then activates changes in consciousness, in light frequency, in vibration throughout the whole solar system. And, it's part of this bigger conversation, and we're going to take a look, as you know, on Saturday, March 24th of 2018 this year. I'm going to be doing a 3-hour presentation on the Hopi prophecies and on what did Nostradamus have to say, what are the Christian prophecies, and the crystal children, the indigo children that have come down to help us with transition. So, the second presentation that I will be doing on the weekend with William Henry, and I'm sure he's going to do some great things, will be really about past, present, and future and these cycles of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the biggest pieces of awareness for me is the fact that there were great ancient civilizations that existed before us with highly advanced technology, but we can barely even find out about Atlantis because a lot of that information has been swept away and it was put into mythology. However, there were so many other great civilizations that existed before them that we probably have no idea even existed, or there isn't even any evidence left because it's been here for so long. So to me, it's just so interesting the fact that we're going through these cycles of consciousness, and in these cycles of consciousness, we're having all these great civilizations that are completely being wiped from our history books. And the information that if we knew what they did and what happened, I feel that the awareness that they were like involved in could really assist us so that we can make some positive change right now so that we don't go down the same route. What do you feel about that?
I think you are dead on, Neil. I think that's one of the reasons why both of us, I think, really do our work. If you think about it, if we lived, 500 years or 1,000 years, we would have lived from the time of the Renaissance. So we would have seen some of these cycles in history of, you know, let's say tyrants, war, territory grabbing, despots. We would have seen these things play out in our own lifetime. So they wouldn't just be something in a history book that seems remote and disconnected from our world. And so consequently, I think we would figure out when these same sort of cycles of money grabbing and tyranny began to happen in front of our eyes. It's like, haven't we seen this movie about four times or five times? We don't need to go down this path because we kind of know that where it ends. And so let's not play it. And let's make a different set of decisions. And I think that that's where we are right now as a world and as a civilization. You know, some history, of course, has been lost and forgotten, as you have so honestly pointed out, especially the ancient history. But we do know about, you know, World War One and World War Two, and we understand what it means when we have tyranny and bullies and things like that. And we don't have to make the same sets of choices that put Mussolini in power and Stalin and Hitler. Mm-hmm. We can do something different. And I think we have to study history to learn from our mistakes and also understand, you know, in these cycles of time that there are times when we're sort of more in the light, that civilizations are striving towards the light in a higher way, like during the Renaissance when we were breaking out of the Dark Ages, during the Golden Age of Greece and the incredibly high peaks of the Egyptian civilization. These are civilizations that were oriented towards unity, consciousness, and the light, and remembering the divine within each one of us. But we kind of went into a big dip, you know, for about 1,000 years there during the Dark Ages. And we've been climbing out for about 500 years. And I think we're now at this place, as the Mayans would tell us, where we're passing through, or let us say in alignment with, if you looked at the horizontal plane of the galaxy, we're literally passing through about a 1,000-year window. And what 2012 was supposed to be was literally the point where we're kind of like in the middle of the window. But of course it takes, as you can imagine, hundreds of years to pass through the window. So, you know, we can see that there was a, we sort of began to come into the like if you imagine an open window with light streaming in, the first rays of the sun about 450 years ago. We've been progressively moving up where finally the Inquisition, you know, fell away, and science came to the forefront, and Renaissance and art and painting and the humanities. And of course, you know, now we're at a place where what we have created in technology over the last 50 years is more than we've created for thousands of years. So we can see how quickly we're moving. In fact, you know, the early theosophists like Rudolf Steiner and Annie Besant, those guys believed that we had entered the first year of 0 degrees of the age of Aquarius in 1939. And it takes 72 years to move through 1 degree of the 30 degrees in any astrological sign that bathes the Earth. So that equals 2,160 years for each one of the ages. So, in other words, in 2011, we would have ended the 72-year period for 0 degrees of Aquarius, and 2012 would have marked year one of 72 years of us moving into 1 degree of Aquarius. And if we can look back and see from 1939 to, you know, 2012, how much we gained in terms of airplanes, you know, computers, cell phones, tablets, laser technology, fiber optics, all the things that have gone on, extraterrestrial contact, in just the first 72 years of 0 degrees. So imagine where we can go in this next 2,000 years.
Right, and I feel that it's going to be an exponential spearheading into light, and a lot of these new technologies and awareness is going to be implemented within our lifetimes, and even maybe I'm hopeful for, and I really truly believe that we're going to have open contact in our lifetimes and even change the longevity of the human body, because we're not supposed to be dying at 100. And like you said earlier, that living for 1,000 years, we might have a different perspective on everything. I feel that a lot of people that die like at 80, 90 are still children. Like, we still haven't dealt with our mommy and daddy issues. Like, if we lived longer, we would have that perspective and that maturity. So you were talking about the cycles of time, and I'm curious to know, because I've heard a lot of information about different dating on, you know, the Age of Aquarius. Some people, like the Yogananda people, they say that we haven't even got there yet, and then it's going to be like 100,000 years before we even get into the Golden Age. But then some people say we're moving into the Golden Age. Some people say we're moving into the Bronze Age. So what's your take on the Golden Age, the Bronze Age? Are we in the Bronze Age? Are we moving to the Golden Age? What's your input on that?
You know, it's always easier for me to talk about these things when I have visual aids, because, you know, it's like I can say, see this, and this is how this connects and so forth. And, you know, as a student and a teacher of the great mysteries, they taught with these hermetic symbols, and so it's so easy that way. But let me give it a shot. As you know, the Hindu tradition, the sages of the Far East, teach that there are four yugas or four ages. And there are also sub-yugas within those big yugas. So the biggest yuga is the Golden Age, where we're really aware that we are divine sparks in the body of God, and we have come down and chosen to take material form, and we learn, we use our powers appropriately, and we kind of celebrate life in unity. In the Silver Age, we become less aware, not a lot less, but somewhat less aware. In the Bronze Age, we become even less aware, and then finally in the Iron Age, or the Kali Yuga, as they call it, the Dark Age, we actually think that we're just, you know, physical bodies down here. You know, is the soul real? I don't know. What do you think? Oh, no, it's just ashes to ashes, dust to dust, you know. It's that whole thing. So definitely the Hindu tradition is that we came into the Kali Yuga, or the Dark Age, about 5,000 years ago. But even within the Kali Yuga, which you can even think of it not just with consciousness, but literally the vibration of matter. So, you know, we're now in a denser world. However, there are ages within the Kali Yuga, and I think that the Dark Age and that 1,000 years of book burning and ignorance we went through was kind of the Kali Yuga within the Kali Yuga. And so then I think when we moved into the Renaissance, we moved into the Bronze Age within the Kali Yuga. And the Bronze Age is marked by rational thinking, analytic proofs, in other words, science. You know, it's not mystical, but it's like, hey, if it's verifiable and provable, then, you know, let's analyze it and figure out how the universe works. And then I think what we're doing now is I think we've been moving into the Silver Age within the Kali Yuga. The Silver Age is marked by increased spiritual gifts, you know, telepathy, healing abilities that we begin to tap into, clairaudience, clairvoyance, more people having this kind of experience of intuitive knowing, feeling, and connection with spirit. And then ultimately it becomes the Golden Age within the Kali Yuga, where we all kind of wake up and realize, hey, I remember I consciously chose to come down here. I am a divine spark. So the question is, what can I create in a positive way, a non-destructive way, to express my creativity or my my real purpose in being on Earth? And I think that there's still a lot of the world that we're in is very much Bronze Age within the Kali Yuga. But more and more scientists, for example, have gotten to the point, like Albert Einstein, of realizing the scientific and the mystical are two sides of the same coin. And, you know, when you look at Michio Kaku, who is an incredible quantum physics physicist, who talks about string theory and how the whole universe is made up of vibrating strings, which is what the ancients told us long ago, the music of the spheres, that the sound creates light, phonons to photons, and from light and sound, matter is created and manifested through vibration. So I think that we're moving up into, you know, the people like us and many of our listeners who are probably in the Silver Age. And one of the things that I try my best to do, you know, would like to think I'm holding a Silver Age consciousness, but I definitely have one foot in the rational world of provability, practicality, and facts. Because, you know, my dad was a lawyer. So I like science. I like archaeology, anthropology. You know, I like to back up what it is I am saying with hard evidence, so that we're able to help more people that are kind of were raised in that paradigm, you know, cross the bridge over to, you know, mystical experience, but still be grounded and, you know, discerning at the same time.
Exactly. And that's what we're here to do as well. And I think that's the most important component, that both sides are really key, whether it's esoteric or it's the linear, giving people information through science and whatever, that really in order to get this awareness out to the masses and make a real change on Earth, the majority of the individuals on this planet aren't really in the know about the actual truth of our ancient past, our interdimensional bodies, and all of that. So presenting this information in a grounded, practical format is really key right now. And quantum physics is one of the most exciting breakthroughs ever, because it really is bridging the gap between spirituality and mysticism and science. So now, like, East meets West, and the prophecy of the shift of power to the East is almost like the Eastern philosophy is now mingling with the Western philosophy, and we can create something where we have a balance rather than one extreme or the other. Now, you said something about it being the golden age within the Kali Yuga. What does that mean? Is there a golden age within the golden age?
Yes, yes. I actually, having spent, you know, many years, probably 20 years studying this stuff, I think that when you're actually in the real golden age, the golden age within the golden age, we're probably vibrating at such a high frequency that we can literally change our form. I mean, literally matter is not as dense or solid or set as it is now. When we move into, you know, each successive age, I actually think that at the subatomic and atomic level, we are literally densifying or vibrating at maybe a slower rate. Some would say a faster rate, a slower rate. You know, I think of consciousness as vibrating at a faster rate, to the point that it becomes almost what the Dominicanians would call the soul atom, S-O-L-E. The soul atom is, in their concept, they teach esoteric physics. It is literally the atom that paints the entire universe. It's moving so quickly, it's literally painting everything into being in every instance. So in other words, that would be an atom that's moving so fast, it literally is more like emanating or expressing the universe through its beingness.
Right.
And when I think about us dropping in vibration, I think about us becoming heavier, denser, more stuck, more concrete, kind of like stuck in mud, you know, that kind of stuff. So, you know, the vocabulary that I'm using.
So do you think that in the golden age – go ahead.
No, you go ahead. That's fine.
I was going to say, do you think that in the golden age of the golden age, that that's still a physical reality on Earth, or we may be not even physical?
I think that we're probably right on the verge between physical and non-physical. I really do. And I think that, you know, your point about saying even past Atlantis and Lemuria, there may actually have been other eras of habitation on this planet we know nothing about. You know, you could be dead on about that. It's kind of like as far back as our memory goes at this point is Atlantis and Lemuria, and that may very well have been, you know, in the big scheme of the Golden Age, the Silver Age, the Bronze Age, that may have been the Bronze Age, you know, in the big scheme of things. Although they doubtlessly went through many cycles within that themselves, where they were, more dense and more warlike and more enlightened and more spiritually aware. And I kind of think that now, you know, when the you know, I've tried to figure out how to reconcile the different systems, because I have great respect for the sages from the Far East. I think that some of those are just some of the most profound avatars we've had on the planet because of the dedication that they've had through the centuries to having lives completely focused on inner plane learning. You know, the East has been classic for not being a materialistic culture, going for consciousness.
Exactly.
First, I have a great respect for the Mayan elders, and as we have discovered, I mean, the Mayan elders have predicted that what we are going into right now is a multi-galaxy event. And in the presentation I did for you, and I hope that we get a chance to go out and maybe I'll speak about this at the conference in October, because I think that it's, you know, huge. It's a huge piece. There's literally physical scientific evidence from NASA and our incredible telescopes that are showing explosions that are happening at the center of several galaxies right now, including ours, the Milky Way. And this was actually, you know, predicted, and it was connected. There were, during the time of Atlantis, which probably its highest golden age was between about 16,000 and 14,000 years ago. And you know, I just actually have been reading a book. And as you know, actually, I'm an author of four books. You mentioned three of them. I must not have sent you an updated bio, but I have a new book that's just come out this past fall called The Angelic Origins of the Soul. And that's a great one, too. And you can find all of them, you know, on my website, Tricia McCannon Speaks. But I've been reading a book from 2006 by a British author, Andrew Collins, who has been tracking the mysteries of the constellation Cygnus. That seems like there were a lot of Neolithic cultures, well, what we think of as Neolithic or cultures from 14,000-16,000 years ago that built a lot of earthworks, including, you know, Avebury and those kinds of Stonehenge, some of the boroughs throughout the Celtic Isles, and many other places where there seemed to be a very strong alignment with one of the stars of Cygnus, and that's Deneb. And during the course of 26,000 years, which is basically 12 astrological signs times the length of each age, 2,160 years, so if you do the math, 12 times 2,160, you come out with a total, what they call the Great Year, of 25,920 years. And so that's when, the amount of time it takes for all 12 signs of the zodiac to come in, kind of bathe the planet for 2,160 years, and then that one moves off and the next one comes in. And
right.
So in this particular book, he's taking a look at what the pole star was, because during the course of the 26,000 years, our pole star changes. Right now, our pole star is Polaris. And of course, when we point towards Polaris, traditionally, we are more asleep. And when we're 12,000 years across the circle, we point towards Lyra, where traditionally when we're conscious or we're more awake. This is what the lore has come down to us through these esoteric histories. Now, prior to the pole star being Lyra, about 16 to 14,000 years ago, it would have been in the constellation of Cygnus, the Swan. Now, what is interesting about this is that right now there is a gigantic super explosion happening in Cygnus, which is right near the center of our galaxy. It's right in the dark rift. And Cygnus looks like a swan. It looks like a cross, actually, you know, with stars. And so it's like basically that the ancients understood, and they linked this to the goddess, which is very interesting, because one of her her great symbols, she had a lot of them, but definitely the swan or the white dove. We still have the white dove today, and as the Holy Spirit in Christianity, and the snake. And the snake, of course, is that Kundalini serpentine energy wave that comes out and bathes all the planets. And that corresponds with what the Mayans were talking about, which is that there's this thing that happens that where a serpent rope comes down. And, you know, what the heck is the serpent rope? you know, I've been working on this for some years trying to decode what it could be. But what's interesting is now they are discovering what the scientists are calling serpent ropes that are literally coming from our sun. I'm not kidding. So it's very, it's all like a complex puzzle. And each one of these cultures has pieces of it. And as you know, I'm a big historian researcher, and I really love putting the pieces together to try to make sense of the puzzle so that we know what's coming. And we understand
right.
where we are in the cycle of evolution, and we can use it in the highest and the best way.
Yeah. Our true history is the greatest story ever told. Like, if people were to really know, just like a regular Joe Blow on the street, and he was to be given the download of exactly our history and its connection to extraterrestrials and ancients, it's extremely mind-blowing. And it took me 17 years of integrating this awareness slowly but surely to the point where I really feel I have a good understanding of our ancient past, and there's still a lot to learn. But I just know, like, the rabbit hole goes so deep, and we need to start the process of rewriting the history books. So what is your take on the future? How are we going to – what do you see in the next 5 to 10 years, and what is your take on how we're going to start the process of informing the world about our true ancient history?
Well, first off, I love your comments, and I adore you, Neil. I think that you are fabulous, and it's one of the reasons I love working with Portal to Ascension, because I really know that you are coming from the highest possible place and your intentions. I think people really get that about spiritual teachers, people who are kind of there for ego, or people that are actually there for truth. And so I just really want to say that and to honor you and Soul and all the other wonderful speakers. I think you have a lot of great teachers, and I'm honored to be one. Second, I think that's a very, very deep question, and I think, though, that the way I look at it is that it is clear to me when I look, let's say, in politics, that there are a lot of people that are still holding on to this old paradigm of service to self, rape and pillage the earth, you know, lie and cheat and steal, and, you know, basically spin tales and lies, take money and be bribed by lobbyists, and who cares who you really hurt as long as you and your family gets rich. And it's like a lot, it's very clear to me that there are, what's happening on the political front is, you know, it's like there are certain people who do not seem to have much of a moral compass. They're so eager to have power and control for their own purposes, either overtly obvious or nefarious, that they are willing to, have the have and the have-nots instead of thinking of themselves as good guardians to protect the people, to nourish the people, and, you know, a good king versus a bad king that's kind of just charming but a despot. And so that's in right in front of our faces. It's our shadow. It's the old paradigm way of thinking, which is a dinosaur way of thinking. It's like, let's just continue the whole cycle of war and aggression and you know. But I think that the world is changing, and that there are people who really don't want to play that game anymore. And I think we really saw this with all the uprisings of young people, thank goodness, that are saying no more gun violence, the uprisings of women that are saying no more sexual abuse and workplace abuse and manipulation and power abuse. I think we're seeing it in the social movements. So we still have this old guard that seems to be all about service to self, and then we have these movements of people who are saying, you know, hell no, we're not going to put up with it anymore. We want to create a better world. And, you know, for example, when the U.S. pulled out of the Paris Climate Accords, you know, what we're discovering is that California and some of the more conscious states are really stepping up and taking a leadership role, because there are conscious people, and we don't have to wait for the government to do it. And so I think when you ask about the big picture, it's like there is a tsunami coming, and that tsunami is about consciousness, and these old guard people are fighting tooth and nail with every trick in the book, from charm and lies and spin doctors and money and, you know, every way they can to shut up to the or to ignore or to minimize the people who are trying to make a difference and create a better world, and they're just trying to sell the same old shibbles. But it's not ultimately going to work. I mean, yes, you literally have the Republicans wanting to drill in the Arctic, which, of course, we know if we have an oil spill there, that pretty much destroys the whole ecosystem for all those animals. We have Trump wanting to open up the national parks to uranium mining, which will pollute the water with nuclear waste, and raise the tickets from being free in public parks to $70 a ticket. So, I mean, we can just sort of see they can do a lot of damage, even in a four-year presidential term. But I think that we have to stay awake. We have to stay aware. We have to stay active. It's not enough to just sit on your, you know, pillow and meditate away. I think we actually have to get involved and jump into the fray. And, you know, in the study of the Tree of Life, each of the dimensions has a name. And this world, the name is the world of action. You know, we're not meant to be complacent. We're meant to act. So, it's a really exciting time to be alive. We want to minimize the damage and make as much positive change as we can. But ultimately, I think the answer to your question is that tsunami wave is coming.
It is coming, exactly.
And it's bigger than politics, money, you know, military might. It's a wave of consciousness. It's a wave of change that moves into the hearts and minds and spirits and the vibration of each person. And, of course, I do think the powers that be have tried through chemtrails, through GMOs in the food, through many things to basically try to infect the antenna, the receptors of our cells, so that people don't wake up, so that they keep people sick or scared or frightened or not vibrating in the natural frequency that they should be, disconnected from the earth, so that when this wave comes in, you know, they hope less people will wake up. But I think, you know, the people who are probably listening to this program, people who are listening to Portal Ascension and attending the kind of events you do and I do, I think that we're about trying our best to wake up. And, you know, we're sure not perfect. We may wind up eating some GMOs or we might need some antibiotics to save our lives. It's not like everything is bad, but I do think that the powers that be have, you know, and on top of that, like the divine feminine, I think that is a really important piece to heal the planet because it's not that aggressive, patriarchal, same old stuff. And so, of course, they have a war on ISIS. And, of course, that terrorist group is not even called ISIS. It's called ISIL. They have a war on Terra, T-A-R-A, the planet Earth. All
this
stuff is put into our subconscious to make it so that, like I have about 35 DVDs, as you know, and one of them is about the many faces of ISIS, the eternal one. Anytime anybody orders that, there's about a three-day delay because the powers that be are having to check. And it's fine with me that they check. It's not a problem at all. You know, because I'd rather them check and not have a terrorist attack. I really have great appreciation for the job that they're doing. But they have to check because now ISIS has become a scary word. And, you know, so I'm not it's fine with me. They check. In fact, I hope they come to my website and look at all the wonderful things that we're doing. because they're trying to protect us, you know, the security. But the point is that ISIS was once the I Am principle of the Divine Mother. And since the patriarchy, you know, who's been kind of in charge for about 3,000 years, is really trying to minimize that peace so that the male patriarchy stays in power, you know, they've sort of laid all that stuff into our subconscious, and it's unfortunate. But hopefully, because of programs like this, people will wake up.
Yeah, it's inevitable that we're waking up, as you have shared in your last presentation and many others in the next presentation, that it's prophesized. Like, it's been prophesized that this awakening is happening. We can look at this like a science, like the Mayans. Their calendar was a science of the universe and the cycles of time. This was like dedicated research and information that showed us exactly how our cycles are going to be. And if we were to actually pay attention to that and know about that, we could go with the flow. However, there's so much resistance, such as you mentioned, from the patriarchy. But no matter what happens, we're raising in consciousness. The chaos that's happening on the planet right now, I personally feel, are the aspects of our shadow selves coming to the surface and manifesting as we raise our consciousness. As we raise our consciousness, the different dimensions of awareness within ourselves, we're literally just like reflecting out all of these situations, whether it's terrorism, you know, and there's information on how terrorism is just a reflection of the Orion Wars. Like, what really is the reason that we're doing what we're doing on the planet? Even us as people who are in the know, so to speak, we don't even fully know all of the dramas and the agendas and the consciousnesses that all have a role with our creation on this planet. So it's, as I said earlier, the rabbit hole is so deep that it's just amazingly mind-blowing. And what we need to do now is to slowly start the process and have compassion and empathy for those who are waking up, because there's a lot of information to know. So as you are doing, Tricia, and we're just going to keep doing it. I'm really excited. Like, I feel that we've just kind of begun. Like, we've been doing this for a while, but at the same time, all we've been doing is creating a foundation for what's going to come in the next few years.
Yeah, I really love it. And, you know, I think that this is one of the reasons why I continue to do the programs. And I think one of the challenges for some people, you know, I have followings in many different areas. I have people who follow me because I have written, I have a whole mystery school, an online mystery school, and I'm trained in the Egyptian and the Celtic and the Native American Twisted Hair and the Masters of the Far East, the Viragi Masters, who I've worked with since I was 19. I have people who follow me because I wrote a book on Jesus and the great spiritual mystery schools and where he went during the 30 lost years, which is profoundly honoring to him, but also to all these other traditions. I have people who follow me because I wrote a book on the Divine Mother and the hidden history of the planet and how for tens of thousands of years, I mean, they now have found these goddess figurines going back 230,000 to 800,000 years. It's like, what the heck? You know, so for tens of thousands of years or hundreds of thousands of years, the Divine Mother was honored as the creator because everyone could see that who gave birth was the female of every species. So who would have birthed the universe? It would have been logical that it was the female. And then, of course, they figured out it took men and women, and it became the Divine Mother and Father. That's perfect because there's a beautiful aspect of the divine masculine and feminine. And then it became the Divine Daughter and Son, as well as the mother and father. Those are the aspects that come to Earth. And then the patriarchy rose up about 3,000 years ago and tried to get rid of the mother, the daughter, and the son. And we got the son back with Christianity, but we never really got the daughter back. And we sort of have the mother wrapped up into Mary. And so then I have people who follow me because I have spoken for years about UFOs and the hidden history of the planet. And of course, all of the things we're talking about. And so it's one person might not realize how the other pieces connect, but they are all connected. And, you know, I wound up doing a radio show yesterday with a wonderful, it was 2 days ago, with a wonderful group. And they were not into the ET UFO thing at all, but they were totally into these other things. And so I was, believe me, if you go far enough into the ET thing, it's not just gray aliens, strange abductions, and reptilians. They're at the higher level. There are masters. There are sages. There are galactic councils of highly conscious beings who are interested in the spiritual evolution and the healing of our planet. And it's unfortunate that the ET thing, you know, in the public eye, unless you research it, has gotten all wound up with, you know, strange gray aliens with big heads and, you know, reptilians and sexual abductions, because that's just a teeny piece of it. But, you know, that's the piece most people know, because that's kind of how it first came out. So it's a, as you say, it's a really big puzzle. And I know you speak about sound and vibration. And I love that, because that's another piece behind it all that directly deals with healing, manifestation, the sacred geometry of the universe, our own personal health. So,
So there's many aspects of bringing this awareness forward. And sound and vibration is just one aspect. And the thing with extraterrestrials, like you were mentioning, I get deeper and deeper into the concept of extraterrestrial awareness as every day goes by, because the more I move forward in life, the more I realize that a lot of everything is actually connects to extraterrestrials, whether it's our monetary system, the economy, the petrol dollar, how did they even get here in the first place, our ancient civilizations, the DNA on our planet. But it's interesting, because a lot of people are kind of standoffish to the concept of ETs, because they think that you're just getting too crazy and too out there, because it hasn't been proven. However, there's enough documents out there to prove this without a reasonable doubt. But the next step is what the information that you're sharing and other people is the esoteric concept. I think a lot of people don't realize how you can be talking about ETs and then meditating to connect with them. They don't realize how it's connected to consciousness and spirituality, you know?
I really think that, you know, in the first place, the human being is the prototype throughout most of the galaxy. And then there are variations, some taller, some shorter, some, you know, with five fingers like us, some with four, some with six, some who actually have learned to live in, you know, not only on land, but also in amphibious environments. And so they have white webbing between their toes or their fingers. But, I mean, pretty much, you know, it's two eyes, one nose, a mouth, two ears, you know, it's some version of that. And then, of course, the question becomes, you know, how big is the brain, like the large skulled craniums that we found that I think probably belonged to the Anunnaki while they were on their planet. But then once they came to this planet, the ones that were born here, you know, on their planet they have a low level of gamma rays that flood them continually, which creates a larger cranium, the building of a larger cranium. And this is one of the things anthropologists have figured out with us, is that the development of our reason and our forebrain, they directly attribute to gamma rays. But the question that they couldn't answer is, where the heck do these gamma rays come from? And I think that what has happened is, as you know, the planet Nibiru has gone around in its orbits and come closer to the Earth, you know, it's, you know, every, you know, 3,600 years, if that is in fact the cycle of, you know, its revolution, then it winds up flooding us with more gamma ray radiation. And I think that that's part of what has happened, as well as a physical seeding of different races, you know, on our planet. And so, you know, once when you look at the pictures of the gods, the early pictures, they had the big heads and they wore the crowns to kind of hold that cranium in. But if you look at the pictures that really only go back 3,000 or 5,000 years, you know, like, for example, Horus or Apollo, who was born here, you know, the cranium's just like ours. They look totally normal, like us. And so, or normal, you know, our version of normal. You know, they have their version of normal. So, you know, I think what's interesting about that is that, you know, in the cranium size of the large ones, some of them have even been calculated to be about 3,300 grams. We have about 1,650 grams, or 1,350 grams. And I think gorillas have 800 grams, and they say you have to have 1,000 grams to master spoken language. So although gorillas may master language, it might be a sign language more than a spoken language. So what's interesting is dolphins have 1,650 grams. They have bigger brain capacities than we do. So, you know, now maybe the brain capacity is commensurate with intelligence or not. But if it is, imagine the intelligence of those beings who visited us. You know, but intelligence, as we know, does not always equal consciousness. You know, there are lots of people who are super smart, but they're in their mental brain. They're not really in their mystical brain or their emotional brain or their intuitive brain. They've just, you know, really achieved a certain level of mastery in one part of their brain, which is their analytic brain. So when we think about the possibility for people that had maybe 3,000 grams to their brain, you know, telepathy, maybe the ability to create, you know, illusions, telekinetic ability, maybe the ability to actually even change their shape. And there's lots of stories in mythology about, you know, the gods that have come down, and some of them, like Zeus, for example, seem to have the power to change his shape. Was he really changing his shape? I don't know. You know, was he creating a mental illusion? I really don't know. Is it just a mythology story based on nothing? Well, I don't think that these things are based on nothing. You know, I think our ancestors did the best they could to try to understand within their limits what was going on, and they reported the story. So I think it's just a really exciting conversation when we realize that there's a lot that we can learn. Mm-hmm. And as you say, the extraterrestrial equation is connected to everything from our past and our history to the use of energy so that we don't have to be dependent on fossil fuels and pollute our planet, to joining a galactic federation of like-minded people that are not interested in war, but are in fact interested in bringing unity consciousness not only to the planet, but to the galaxy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm super excited because I feel that this is going to happen, and we're creating this new reality right now, and we're at the forefront of a new dimension, and it's the most exciting thing ever. And it's really the time now for, it's a call to action, you know. It's time for everybody to step out of the comfort zones and take action to create the world that they want, because otherwise those in power, they're attempting to hijack it and control it, and ultimately that's not going to happen because it's prophesied it's not going to, but it's up to us to take the step. So Portal to Ascension is synonymous to a call to action to all light workers, where you come to our platform and you're getting a 4-hour workshop or an 8-hour conference on a specific topic that dissects it to the point that you can conceptualize it and feel it, you know? So we're providing this outlet for that.
At an incredible price. I mean, your prices are incredibly low, and, you know, it takes me about, you know, 5 8-hour days to put together one of these 3-hour workshops, and, you know, you only charge $33, which is, like, stunning. And, of course, you know, why do I do it? For the same reason that you do. Because I think we are at a turning point on this planet, and that the more of us that can wake up, the more powerful we will be together.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Tricia, so we only have a couple of minutes left, but I want to really quickly just go over the events that we have together coming up. So as we've been talking about the April, it's actually April 7th and 8th in Atlanta at Inner Space.
That's right. And if they wanted to register, is there a phone number or website, or what would you tell them to do?
Best place to register is go to globalascensiontours.com, globalascensiontours.com. It will be on the homepage, or you can go to upcoming events. We have all the events listed there for the whole year. And there are about 3 events down. Is the one with William Henry and Tricia McCannon, Lost Civilizations Tour, April 7th and April 8th. We're also going to be live streaming that event. So if you can't attend live, you can actually sign up to live stream it. And we only have 90 seconds before we cut off, so I'm going to zoom ahead here. We have a Boulder event where Tricia is going to be discussing Star Nations on May 5th, and then we have Tricia in Denver on May 6th. So if you're in Colorado, please come out to those. And then we have our regularly scheduled event on March 24th, which is an online webinar with Tricia, and another one in September. So Tricia, why don't you go ahead and tell everybody where they can find out more information about you, and if you have any announcements and what's coming up for you.
Yes, it's Tricia McCannon Speaks is my website, P-R-I-C-I-A, that spelling. And McCann is just like it sounds, M-C-C-A-N-N-O-N, and the word speaks, at yahoo.com or .com. And you'll find my website. And I'm actually launching a whole program on the Divine Mother in the middle of March, so I'm deep in production there. But in the next week or two, I'll be updating the site and get some of these wonderful events on the site. So there's a lot to look at now, but feel free to come back at the beginning of March when I roll up my sleeves and get some of these things we're talking about up online.
Beautiful. Tricia, I love you. Thank you for all you do. And you already know that you mean a lot to me, and we're going to continue doing this in the future. So thank you for all your time and your energy.
My pleasure, Neil. I feel right the same exact way. It's been a pleasure to do the show, and I look forward to the next time.
Thank you so much. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.